This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Now that the Episcopal Church of the United States has confirmed its first openly gay bishop, conservatives are trying to figure out what to do. They've asked the worldwide Anglican Church to intervene, and the Archbishop of Canterbury has called an emergency meeting of the top 38 leaders, or primates, for October. Conservatives talk about breaking away from the Episcopal Church. As NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports, that can be a costly proposition.
3 years ago, Michael Hesse was the rector of a picturesque church in Destin, Florida, called St. Andrews by the Sea. The church was growing, and the parishioners had sentimental attachments to each other and to the building itself.
We had a number of people who literally participated with their own hands in building the old sanctuary. They would finish fishing. They would come up the hill and drag the concrete blocks and mix the mortar by comb and lantern light at night, and they built it.
But after the Episcopal Church's General Convention in 2000, in which the delegates recognized same-sex partnerships, Hesse decided he could no longer serve in the Episcopal Church. He went to his congregation, and by a nearly unanimous vote, they decided to leave the denomination and become a missionary church under the Archbishop of Rwanda. Hesse says they asked their bishop if they could buy the church they had built. The bishop said no. Instead of litigating the matter, the parishioners just walked away from their building.
We knew that legally we would lose.
And they're almost certainly right. The Episcopal Church has a canon or rule that the regional diocese, not an individual church, has claim to church property. According to Jim Solheim, a spokesman for the Episcopal Church, the rule has been tested repeatedly in recent years.
In the vast majority of those cases, when they go to the courts, the courts uphold the authority of the diocese to retain the property. So in a sense, people can leave a parish, but parishes can't leave the church.
Which creates a dilemma for conservative churches who dissented from the confirmation of Gene Robinson to be the first openly gay bishop. Many of the larger, faster-growing congregations have poured money into their buildings over the past few years. So now conservative clergy from around the country are planning to meet in Plano, Texas in October to discuss strategy, how they can make a split without losing everything. It's a knotty legal question, which brings many to Charles Knowles. Knowles, a priest and the head of the Canon Law Institute, says he's never been busier than in the weeks since New Hampshire elected Gene Robinson to be bishop.
The phones just went crazy. Emails to the Institute have been running 300 to 400 messages a day. Some of it just people venting, and others pleas for help. And it's just been night and day.
In part, he says, that's because the Episcopal Church is in entirely new legal territory. For example, the only way the National Episcopal Church can claim the property of a parish is to do so through the diocese. But what if the bishop doesn't go along with the National Church, refuses to sue for the property, and lets a conservative church keep it? Given that 43 bishops voted against Gene Robinson, that could cause a real problem for the National Church. And this debate raises a larger question. Who is the rebel minority and who is the presiding majority? Conservative rectors like David Roseberry at Christ Church in Plano, Texas, say it's the Episcopal Church that has moved out of the mainstream and away from traditional teaching.
It's kind of like Ronald Reagan and the Democratic Party. I didn't leave the Democratic Party, do you remember he said? They left me. We're not leaving the Episcopal Church. General Convention left the Episcopal Church, and they need to be corrected.
And in fact, the numbers bear him out. The worldwide balance of power in the Anglican Church has shifted dramatically from the more liberal northern hemisphere to the conservative south. Africa alone has 44 million Anglicans, more than the rest of the world combined. These highly conservative churches were furious with the Gene Robinson vote. Emboldened by Southern anger, conservative churches in the U.S. will probably ask the leaders of the Anglican Church to recognize them as a separate Anglican province in direct competition with the Episcopal Church. There's even talk of a more radical step, that the Anglican Communion would, quote, de-recognize the Episcopal Church and recognize the conservative dissenters. According to Christopher Seitz, who teaches theology at the University of St. Andrews in Scotland, either of these moves could create an opening for conservative churches to keep their property and a huge legal mess for American courts.
Who knows, after this meeting in October, I would hate to be a judge. I think if I were a judge, I'd simply say, this is not something we can adjudicate any longer.
Still, many church members hope that the Episcopal Church will tap into their historical genius and once again turn the threat of schism into a family squabble and still remain a family. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News, Washington.